Welcome to the Store Builders Podcast, the place where we talk to industry experts and successful store owners about what it takes to build a thriving e-commerce business. Every episode, we deliver the raw, unfiltered recommendations that will catapult your store to new heights. Ready to get serious about expanding your e-commerce empire? Well, then let's get to work.
I'm your host, Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined once again by Chris Lemma. In this episode of the Store Builders Podcast, Chris and I discuss why it's important to have great product photography on your online store. In an online shopping environment, your photography is the only access your clients have to your products before a purchase can be made. They can't feel, taste, or try anything you're selling before they have to make a decision. The only information they get is what you show them. But photography communicates more than just product information. Your photographs can tell a story about your brand or your ideal customer. The quality of your photography and your ability to present it well can build or destroy your credibility. Whatever role you play in the design of your website, you will want to ensure that your photographs look great. On this episode, you'll hear the purpose and function of product photography. Product photography mainly serves to answer customer questions and tell a story about your products and brand. Next, we'll discuss the impact of good and bad photographs. Low-quality photos may obscure important details your customers are looking for and will diminish your standing in the eyes of your shoppers, which could lead to a drop in sales. Then we'll talk about common mistakes to avoid. We'll share some important technical factors to consider, while also discussing the details you'll need to capture so you can properly tell a story in your pictures. After that, we'll discuss when you as a store builder should get involved in your product photography. It's a good idea to bring this issue to your store owner's attention if you notice poor quality photos, or if you don't have access to the photos you need. If you want to get directly involved, find a way to bill this as an extra service. Finally, we'll share some fantastic resources for shooting and editing images. With the right gear and editing software, even your iPhone can be used to generate professional-level photographs that will turn your visitors into buyers. If you're looking for ways to improve your knowledge of product photography, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's my conversation with Chris Lemma.
All right, Chris, welcome back to the program. It's great to see you again.
It's good to see you. How are you doing today, Ryan?
I'm doing great. Thanks. So we're talking about product photography today and some of the tools and resources that can help our store developers do that better. But before we jump in, I want to just kind of talk about the purpose of product photography, specifically in an online shopping environment. So what is the role that online photography can play?
So I think we did an episode earlier where we talked about the kinds of photos you need. And I think at that point, what I mentioned, right, was you're telling a story with photos, right? You're telling a story, you're engaging people viscerally versus just with text, and you're pulling them in. So you need photos that, as we talked about last time, right? You need photos that highlight the product in use so that people can see, okay, here's the size in comparison to what I thought it would be. Also, you need feature photos like, here's a particular feature that I want to highlight. And so I do a close-up and I can show you that feature. So if a backpack is waterproof, show me water, beat it up on the material so that I know, okay, this is good in water. And then you need the 360s, right? Whether they don't have to be video, but you need to have photos from the different sides so that you get a full aspect of your product. So it can be very, very valuable. The right photos can answer questions, right? I think I mentioned on that earlier episode, I was buying audio equipment for my computer and I'm talking to a buddy and we didn't know what kind of cables we needed. And we just went to the product on Amazon and we clicked through the photos. We got to the back and we looked and we're like, oh yeah, it's XLR. Like I know, right? And so I didn't have to read FAQs. I didn't have to send in an inquiry to the manufacturer. Just the photo answered the question. So photos are very, very powerful in helping someone decide, yes, I want this. Yes, this does what I need. Okay, I'm going to buy it.
Okay, great. Now, can we measure the negative impact that bad photos have? Like, do we know what effect that would have on a shopper if your photography, if it just doesn't look good?
I don't think so. If a photo is bad, right? Like it just misses the mark. The lighting isn't great, whatever. I don't know that we have anything. I don't know that I've read anything on stats that say this will kill it. But what I will say is this. Really hastily taken photos that look cheap do lose sales. We're going to have a whole nother episode on what happens when people are coming to your site and they're not converting, right? Okay. And one of the dynamics of that is the photos just look like, what did my nephew build this website, right? Mm-hmm. Often it's the, like, there's blur in the photos. There's so poor contrast that I can't actually see the product, right? And even the sizings is different and the layout is wrong. There's a lot that says this was not done by a professional. So if it has enough lighting, if it's clean enough, if it's the right size, if all the things are right, but it's just a bad photo, if I'm taking a picture of a phone and I take a picture at this angle instead of this angle, right? Like you're going to be like, well, why'd you do that? Right. But if it still shows this is the size compared to my hand, maybe that's what you're trying to do. Right. So I don't know that photos that are not perfect. Right. I don't think that'll kill you, but I think cheap looking photos, right. Okay. Photos that make it feel like, you weren't paying attention to this or it wasn't a key part of what you're doing. I think in the end, if that's across the site, across the store, right? I think people will walk away.
Okay. And is that a poor reflection on the product itself or more on you as a seller?
I think in general, it's a poor reflection on the whole store, right? Okay. Like whoever built this. Because no, people don't think, oh, well, it's Apple's fault. If I'm selling, let's say I'm selling an Apple iPhone case, right? And here I am and I'm showing you the case and look, it has the cutout for the new phone or whatever. But if I show it to you like this and there's glare and you can't see it exactly, right? They're not going to say, oh, it's the manufacturer of the case that's wrong. It's just the photographer's a moron, right? So I don't think it'll kill the notion that the product, it'll suggest the product's bad, but I think it will cause someone to go look somewhere else, right? If they can't get what they want out of the photo.
Okay, great. So let's talk a little bit. You've already mentioned a couple just now, but what are some common mistakes or errors that you can make with your product photography?
So the first, right, is you don't tell the story, right? You think all I have to do is just take a bunch of pictures of the product and I'll just throw it on. And you're not navigating someone through the narrative, right? So if I'm not showing you the feature photos, if I'm not showing you like, look at this key feature, look at this key feature, I'm choosing which features you focus on. If I'm not doing that, if I don't say, look at this product close up so you can see how well it's been manufactured, or you can see how well the seams are stitched. If I don't show it to you in its revolving state so that you can see it from top and bottom, then I'm doing a bad job answering your questions, telling the story, getting you to buy, right?
Okay.
So the biggest mistake, the first mistake is you're not telling the right story. If you get that right, then you can get into a lot of technical challenges, right? Not good enough lighting, not enough contrast, not putting the product in use. I think I've told you a story before, right? Of buying an R2-D2 out of a catalog because I thought it was going to be this big and it turned out to be only this big. And you're like, sometimes you just need some context, right?
Right.
But that's where some of these tools help, right? On any different level. Because they can help you get the right contrast, get the right lighting, all that kind of stuff, right?
Okay. Yeah, great. So, a lot of times the store builder is just on the back end. They're taking the photos that have been delivered to them and putting them on the website. Under what circumstances would a store builder get involved in the photography aspect?
So that's a great question. I think one of the things that has to happen is the store builder has to say, hey, I'm noticing these are what you're sending me. Can I ask you? Do you have any of these, right? Like, you don't have to say, you need this. You just say, hey, I'm noticing that you're selling this shoe and you don't have close-ups of the stitching. Do you have any of those? Or I'm noticing that you're sending me photos, but all the photos of the shoes are all from the side view. You don't have anything from the top showing the tongue. You don't have anything from the back showing if there's any icons or logos on the back. Do you have any of those? So you can just ask the question when someone will go, oh, I don't. Okay. Now, the best store merchants, right, the owners or manufacturers of the products, whatever, if it's their own, they'll be like, oh, I can get those. Let me go get those, right? Like, that's a great idea. Let me go get those. Mm-hmm. But you'll get some people who say, no, I don't. I only have what, let's say it's not my product. I run the store, but I only have the photos they gave me. Then you might say, well, maybe we just take a few more, right? And you offer that. And of course, you offer it potentially as a service, right? Or unless you have a photographer friend, right? Someone who's going to, you know, collaborate with you on the project. But that's a great, by asking the question, do you have these? You open up the door and then either yourself or someone else can come in. Or you may discover, right, in the days of DSLRs now, for prosumers, everybody and their brother has a camera, right? And so even the store merchant may say, ooh, I have a camera. I can take some more photos.
Yes.
And then it's really about having the conversation about what to do and some tools, right? To say, okay, hey, if you're shooting something like a shoe and you want that white backdrop, then you want to you know, get yourself a mini studio, a portable environment, right? That is all white so that it stands on its own. And there are several of those, right? Boldio. Yeah. Boldio has one and, it's great, right? If you just pop it open, it unfolds, and then you put the product right in the middle and you go, okay. And it has little LED to it. And so you can, it'll put light on the product. And so a merchant or the store builder or the store builder's partner who does photos can just pop it up and take some shots, right? So that's a helpful tool. Product tripods, right? Any kind of tripod that will hold the product at a particular angle, right? So, you know, those little tiny mini gorilla-like tripods, they're often used to hold your iPhone camera, which is also a really good idea, right? You don't want to be holding your iPhone or you don't want to be holding a camera. You want it on a tripod so it's stable. That way you don't get any of that movement. But if you're taking a picture of a shoe, right, you can hang the shoe on the tripod, flip it around so that you're seeing the whole sole, take a shot that looks a little different, right, than your normal, like, I'm going to lay it on itself and then it's wobbly and you're like, no, let me just hang it up, right?
Sure.
So having little tripods, having little studios, having a light, I use for my lighting on the show, right? I use a LIFX or LIFX, however you pronounce LIFX light bulb that allows me to change the temperature, the coloring, tone, even the strength of the light, right? And so having customized lighting, it's just one bulb, right? But one bulb, if it's too bright, will you know, change the exposure and make me look all washed out. And if it's not bright enough, then you can't see me as opposed to the background, right? So lighting, background, tripods, and then of course photo gear, right?
Yeah.
A good iPhone, right? One of the reasons I tell my wife that I have to upgrade to the iPhone every time it comes out is for photography, right?
Yeah.
Because the iPhone camera is insane.
It keeps
getting better. So there are people who will say, no, if you want serious product photos, you got to go get a DSLR. And I'm not debating them. You can get great stuff with a DSLR, right? But the iPhone, the last two or three versions of the iPhone are insanely good. And at that point, the issue is not going to be the photo you're taking. It's going to be your lighting and background and everything else. So getting your iPhone on a tripod and taking it, if that's all you have, is fine. If you're a store builder and you're just throwing in a little bit of like, okay, I have a client, they have two or three products for this website. They're not going to go hire a photographer.
Yeah.
They don't have a camera or whatever, right? Then you go, okay, great. I'm just going to pop open this little studio. I'm going to turn on the lights, stick the water bottle right in the middle, and then set my iPhone on a tripod, take a couple pictures, move it up and move on, right?
Okay.
And it'll still be way better than someone going, oh, I'll take a picture, right? And they're holding the water bottle up and they got their camera and it's shaking and they take it and you're like, what do you do? And then they're like, what's all in the background? I mean, part of the reason we put, unless you're trying to do, like if I'm taking a picture of a watch, right? I want the watch on the wrist so that you can judge the dimensionality, right? The difference between the size of the face of the watch versus my wrist, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a photo that's important. But also, you want photos of the watch on its own, right? With nothing in the background. If every photo I took, right, included background stuff, you'd be like, well, what is that right there? And what is that right there? And what is, you know, whatever it is, that right there, right? Yeah. You don't want to play in that game, right? So you want that background that's managed so that photos look like they're pointing you in the direction of what you're supposed to look at, right? The watch is the watch. Nothing else is here. Just look at the watch.
Okay, great. Well, let's dig into some helpful tools and best practices. You've already listed a couple, but in the photography stage, in the shooting stage, are there any other resources or practices that you recommend people check out?
Yeah, if you're gonna get a camera, my favorite is the Sony Alpha line, and I'm using the Sony Alpha 7 III, but the Sony and the Sony Alpha 7 III on its own, the basic one, not the Pro or the R or anything else. But if you're using a DSLR, make sure that you get a good lens, right? A lot of times what happens is people go out and spend, and if you had to, right, I would tell you, buy a cheaper camera with a better lens than a nicer camera with the stock lens, right?
Okay.
And that's because you're going to be shooting these photos using the aperture setting, where the aperture setting is what controls the depth of field. And what you want is the product to be right in the sweet spot and everything else to not be in the sweet spot. Mm-hmm. And that's going to mean that you need a really good lens. So a DSLR camera is important if you're going to shoot with a camera. But what you really want to do is make sure that you get a good lens so that you can, you know, that you can have a depth of field that's critical. The way you'd look at that is 1.4, 1.8, 2.0, like the f-stops are going to tell you that, right? So when you look at the lens, and you're going to look at probably something like 45 millimeter, 90 millimeter, right? You're likely not going to be looking at 12, right, millimeter, where you have super wide angle, because then you're like, well, but then I caught everything that I don't want, right? So something, you know, again, the main point, right? I don't want to bore you on photography stuff. Is the main point is, if you have to choose where you're going to spend your money, and you are choosing to go with a DSLR, right? Choose to spend on the lens. So if you, let's say you have a bucket of money and you're like, okay, I'm getting into this, I'm going to do this a lot. I would make sure not to go, I'm going to spend most of it on the camera, and then I have a little bit for a lens. It's how much is the lens I want, and then what's the rest that I have for the camera, right?
Okay, sure.
So, but again, just like I said earlier, the iPhone, any of the latest iPhones, right? I would tell you the 8, 10, and 11 are the latest. And of course they have different versions with the S's. Anything from there is just fantastic, right? You just don't, especially if you're not going into photography full time, right? You're like, no, I don't need a whole arsenal of lenses and bodies and whatever. Just use your iPhone, right?
Right.
And then we talked about the Gorilla tripod. It's the Joby Gorilla Pod. That's the flexible one, right? That's the one that isn't just three legs and a option to mount something on it. And because it's flexible, it's crazy what you can do with it, right? So having that little guy in my backpack becomes, you know, helpful all the time. What else when you're shooting? Sometimes you need depending on what you're shooting, right? But sometimes what you're going to need is if you're not going to have that little surround environment portable studio,
Yeah.
Sometimes you're just going to need some poster board paper, something that allows you to create from the base, from the floor up to over the wall, right? You're going to need something to create a seamless single color background, right?
Okay.
So whether you have background paper or whether you have a little studio and a kit, and you can see a bunch of these, right? They're portable, they flap open, and all of a sudden they have three walls and a floor. Sometimes they come, like I mentioned, with LED lighting. Other times they don't, and you put a light there. But having that little portable studio is helpful. Sometimes the item you want to shoot is bigger than that. Mm. And so you're like, okay, let's say I'm shooting a printer, right? And the printer is wider than that studio, and I can't get it into that little portable thing. Then I'm going to take a table. I'm going to put the table against the wall. I'm going to take this, you know, paper, and I'm going to roll it, the paper under the whole, you know, over the table, under the printer, and then all the way up the wall and tape it to the top of the wall. So now I have one seamless floor and background. When I do the shoot, it leaves the product as the main guy and nothing else in the way.
Okay, great. Yeah, well, I was thinking about this when we were talking about the iPhone, that you can take great pictures of that. And I think that one of the reasons why that works so well is because, well, the lens is good, but there's also so much you can do on the back end, on the editing stage.
Yes.
And I was also thinking that this might be probably, if you're a store builder, maybe where you're going to get more action is you're going to get photos and you're going to feel like you need to do a little bit of work to those photos to get them ready for the website. So what are some helpful tools and resources for the editing stage?
Absolutely. There is a product that my buddy uses all the time. We joke with him because what happens is he takes photos, right? And it used to be on a actual camera. And then recently he's starting to use the iPhone for everything. But we would joke because by the time he got us the photos, right, it might be a year later. And it wasn't because he was taking the photos. It was all the post-production, right? He would just go in and tweak things and tighten up things and change tone and whatever. Now the photos would be beautiful and amazing, right? But you're like, isn't there something you do? So when he shifted from a DSLR to the iPhone, we thought, oh, great. Now he's going to just take the pictures and then send them off. He's like, no, I'm going to adjust them on the camera itself, right? On the iPhone itself, right? Yeah. There's an app called Camera Plus, and he uses Camera Plus and does all that stuff. Of course, it's way faster, right? Like he just looks at the photo and then he goes, oh, let me tweak this, this, and this. And then he sends it out to us, right? I'm pretty sure he's using Camera Plus post, but he may also be using it while he's taking the photo. Okay. I think it also manipulates how he takes the photo. Wow. Let me see if, hold on one second. Sometimes I have the camera stuff that he tells me to put on my phone. I just never use it.
Sure.
But I'm just going to check real quick. No, I think I killed it. Because I'm like, I don't ever do this, right? I just don't. I don't ever. But there are other apps, right? I think there was one called LightX.
Okay.
That also manipulated stuff, right? And you can mess with it after the fact, right?
Yeah.
That's if you're using the phone, right? But if you're using a computer, right? Or if you're taking the images off a DSLR and then putting it into your computer, you can also use Photoshop, right? And there are tons of people who know Photoshop really well. Now, I don't presume that our store builders that are listening to podcasts are like, oh, I want to spend monthly money on Adobe just to be able to make a resizing or just changing the lighting a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. So there are other products, right? GIMP is the most common one.
Okay.
That people talk about as an open source version that is close to Photoshop. It's not exactly the same. Mm-hmm. But you know, I've seen people literally take Photoshop Express or, you know, other light tools and just say, look, I'm not trying to do a lot. I want to make a, you know, so Photoshop Express, Photoshop Elements, these are all Photoshop Lightroom. These are all lesser tools than Photoshop itself that people could, you know, get into.
Okay, great. Well, we're about out of time. Is there any kind of last word or last thoughts you want to say about just product photography in general?
There is a website that is called Pixels, P-I-X-E-L-Z. And Pixels is a product imaging editing service for e-commerce. Mm. Again, it totally depends on what role you are, right? As a store builder, are you doing a lot of stuff? But background removal, crop pan, clipping paths, multiple outputs, they're doing a lot of this. And they're doing it on a per image basis, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you pay a monthly subscription or you do the images, whatever, they do a 2-day turnaround. Pixels is a pretty interesting company, right? And so we've been talking a lot about all the things you could do yourself. You could potentially just get the pros to do
it. Sure. Okay. Outsource it if you need to.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, Chris, this was fantastic. Thank you so much.
Take care.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up my conversation with Chris Lemma. He shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on how to ensure the quality of the product photos on your website. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Store Builders Podcast.